all please have a seat and grab a hymnal and open up those hymnals to song number 2. We can begin this evening's service by singing song number 2, Glory to His Name.
Spirit. service times listed in the upper left-hand side. I actually will be in 2 Kings chapter 12 this week. I'm preaching the thing.
And don't forget the dessert social on Thursday at 6 p.m. before the service. This time we'll pass the offering plate as it goes around. You can follow along with me as I read from 1 Chronicles chapter number 16 tonight. That's 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. Beginning of verse 1, the Bible reads, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, the next to him, Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, with their psalteries and their harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his faith, his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath with unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for your sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, and Zadok the priest and his brethren, the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually. And with them, Heman and, musical instruments of God, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters, and all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you, Lord, for all the great things that you give us. Lord, thank you for the the blessings that you give us each and every day. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to set aside time this week specifically to thank you, and Lord, that we would always have an attitude of thankfulness throughout the year. And Lord, we just praise you for all the great things you have done and will continue to do through us and for us. We pray you just bless this evening service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, of course, I'm preaching the Thanksgiving sermon tonight, and I want us to, you know, and, you know, I that we as a nation have set aside a day, hopefully, where, you know, people are going to take a pause and at least give thanks for the good things in their lives. And obviously, you know, in this country, we have a lot of good things to be thankful for. And it's great that we have an appointed time to be thankful for. And, you know, before I lose you, before you zone out thinking, oh, great, another sermon about Thanksgiving, let me just remind you that being thankful in the Scripture is a command of God. It's not something that we just kind of feel or, you know, something we'll do if we just kind of feel like it. If we think there's something we should be thankful for, we'll go ahead and express some thanksgiving. You know, being thankful, having a thankful attitude is something that is actually commanded in Scripture, okay? It's not something that's just, you know, optional. Offerings and the peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So right there, how about keep that in mind on Thanksgiving if your favorite dish isn't served, okay? All they got there was a flagon of wine, you know, grape juice, and they got the bread and some flesh. You know, we're going to probably have thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. So notice, when they're bringing back the Ark of God and putting it there, you know, David has the wherewithal. He decides that then and there that there are going to be certain Levites who are appointed to minister before the Ark. And what is it that they were specifically to do there before the Ark? It says to record and what? And to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. I mean, here's a group of people who were actually tasked with giving thanks unto God. Not, so you could see this is something that they were what? Appointed to. They were appointed to thanksgiving. It was literally their job as Levites to give thanks unto the Lord day and night. You know, they were supposed to do it in the morning and again in the evening. That was something that they were appointed to. You know, so we should not have to. It's not just a feeling. It's not just something, you know, when the mood strikes us, we'll go ahead and be thankful. You know, once a year we'll stop and kind of think about the things that we should be thankful for. You know, being thankful is something we are appointed to year-round. Now, again, I'm not downplaying the fact that there's a day like Black Friday where everybody goes out and tries to get the best deal on a bunch of stuff they don't need. They go from one day of, you know, being thankful for everything that they have to immediately then running out and trying to, you know, covet after other things and trample each other at a Walmart for, you know, just pity that's going on out there as well. But, you know, it still has that name, Thanksgiving. It's not Turkey Day, you know, it's Thanksgiving, okay? There's a day that we have appointed to Thanksgiving, you know, why? Because we want to stop and pause and give thanks unto God. And this is something that you find throughout Scripture. David here is appointing Levites to give thanks before the Ark. Now, we're going to keep something in 1 Chronicles 16. The Lord still walking in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, and one hand kind of washes, you know, I believe the more naturally we're just going to find ourselves thanking God. The more we're reading about the Lord, the more we're what, rooted and built up in him, you know, the more we're just going to find kind of follows. Even if it doesn't, you know, we are still commanded, we are still appointed to thanksgiving. This is God's will for us, that we would abound in these things and that we would give thanksgiving. Go over to Colossians chapter number 3. Going to Colossians 3, Philippians 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything that we are appointed by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God. You know, sometimes if we're praying for something, it's also, you know, it's also a good time to kind of remember all the answered prayer that God has given us. Instead of always just asking for things from God, sometimes it's good to just go there and thank God for what he's already given us. That's a, you know, say, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to pray. Well, you know what? Maybe we should just go and pray, go to God and just thank him. Just thank him for salvation. Thank him for all the good things that he's given us already. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says in verse 16 of Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. Go to back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 23. 1 Chronicles chapter number 23. You see, in David's day, this wasn't just an annual event. He's appointing these Levites to give thanks constantly. This is their job. It wasn't just something they did from time to time. And you know what? It's the same with us today. You know, we just read in Colossians, I read to you from Philippians, where, you know, that is, thanksgiving is something that we should be in the habit of. You know, this is something that we are appointed to, not just on an annual basis. Praise the Lord, and likewise at even. This is literally their job. This is what they were appointed unto. Not just going through their priestly duties of the offerings and things like that, but stopping every morning and every evening to give thanks unto the Lord. We are appointed to thanksgiving. And, you know, it's something that should just naturally come out of us. And if it's not, you know, that's probably because we are an ungrateful people. If we do not find ourselves thanking those that have provided things for us, thanking, being thankful for the things, you know, don't find ourselves, you know, giving thanks for anything, we're ungrateful. And that's not how we ought to be. Why? Because we're appointed to thanksgiving. It's something that we ought to be doing, just like David appointed these priests. In fact, you know, ingratitude is a attribute of wicked people. You know, we all love Romans 1, right? But it says in Romans 1, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful. I mean, that, and then it's just the downward spiral that we all know from there. But where does it start with? They were not thankful. They were not thankful for God, for who he was, and what he had done for them. So obviously, you know, we don't, but anyway, on Thursday, you know, everyone's going to have a general, things that they can just be thankful for in general. I mean, just think about some of the things that we could probably just all list off the top of our heads. You know, our health. You know, that health is something you're really not thankful for usually until you don't have it anymore. You know, health is one of those things you kind of take for granted. You know, I don't know of what your what it's like for you, but it's like whenever I get sick, I'm like, I'm dying. You know, I just sit there and meditate about and think about, once I feel good, I'm just going to take better care of myself. And, you know, you become real thankful for your health when you don't have, let's go ahead, all these amenities, all these niceties that are provided for us by the society that we're living in, the nation that we're living in. You know, that's something that we could be thankful for. You know, that's probably something a lot of people hopefully will express thanks for. What about, you know, just safety? You know, we're living at a very prosperous time. We're living in a very peaceful time. I know if you watch a lot of these life, I'm tempted to ask if any of you have, but, you know, some of you might actually say, yeah, you know, but, you know, generally speaking, we've all kind of lived in relative safety. You know, we can go out at night and be safe. I'm not suggesting everyone here does that, but, you know, that's something we can be thankful for. What about things, people, even Christians, living their lives dissatisfied, discontented? What they really are is ungrateful. What we need to learn to do is to thankfulness. You know, it's something that just by salvation alone, it's like, how can you not be thankful? I mean, what a drag for these Levites to have to thank God every morning, every night. What a tough job. You know what? I bet you they had no problem doing it. I bet you they walked up to that altar and they saw those sacrifices, and they're going to see the temple built. They're just seeing all these great things taking place. They're probably just praising God. It probably just came out of them. And so they weren't just like, well, you know, David said we had to do it, so let's get up there. No, it's something they wanted to do. You know, we ought to be the same way. You know, we have an altar that we can approach unto. We have a throne of grace that we can go to. We have access to the Father through the Spirit. Because you are an ungrateful. He gave us another thing besides that. You know, we could literally get up and just thank God for salvation every single day. Thank God I'm saved every single day. That alone. You know, wherever we're feeling down, wherever we're feeling sorry for ourselves, you know, you should just pause and think, well, at least I'm not in hell. And by the way, that's where we were all going. In fact, go to, you know, keep something for 1 Chronicles 16 and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'll just read to you from 1 Chronicles 16, these first couple of verses. It says, then on the day that David delivered, first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So David writes a psalm for them to sing, and it's a psalm to thank the Lord. I mean, he literally wrote a song unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Thank God that we can go out and make known his deeds among the people. Thank God that we can go out and offer us. Not everybody gets to do that. Look, the world's going to can be thankful for a lot of things that we can be thankful for, but there's some things that only we as God's people get to praise God over. You know, they don't have the assurance of salvation. They don't have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. They don't have the opportunity to go out and preach Christ. We do. That's something to be thankful for. You know, we ought to be thankful for the gospel. Thankful for the fact that we heard it and that we believed it. Thankful that we also have the opportunity to go out and preach it. That's what we're appointed to. Ephesians 2, verse 11, it says, "Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles, you were without Christ. You were unsaved." What does that mean? Well, it means that you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You had no inheritance in heaven. And strangers from the covenants of promise. None of those things remind you of something in Ephesians. He's saying, let me remind you that at one time, ye were without hope. Say, well, what should I be thankful for? That you're saved. That you have a hope steadfast and sure. That you have a hope in Christ that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, that salvation is yours and nothing can take it away from you. Look, that's something to be thankful for. And something we ought to be thankful for. You know, thankfulness and gratitude shouldn't be something that we have to just drum up in our lives. It's something that we should just abound in. It should just be something that just comes naturally to us. And it will when we start to meditate upon things like our lives. It's something that we should just abound in. It should just be something that just comes naturally to us. And it will when we start to meditate upon things like this. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, we can get up every morning, we can get down on our knees every morning, every night, and we can praise God for the blood of Christ every single day. And that'll never get old. Praise God for the blood of Christ. He goes on, if you would, I don't know where I'm having you go next. Give thanks unto the Lord. So these are the things that he's reminding all the people for. Here's something to be thankful for. Here's what you should do. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. You know, what's that kind of remind you of? The judgments of his mouth. The works that he hath done, right? This reminds me of the Bible, right? O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, and his judgments are on all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, right? That's something that we learn about through the word of God. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. You know, not only should you be grateful for the fact that you're saved, but, you know, we should thank God that we have the Bible. We have this immeasurable, you know, untold treasure in the word of God. I mean, we can't even begin to fathom what a great treasure this truly is. To have the written word of God. Look, this isn't just any old book. You know, we believe here that this is the inerrant, you know, inspired word of God. That this is the revealed word of God unto all man. And it's perfectly preserved in the King James Version. It says exactly what God wants it to say. It's not just the meanings of what he's trying to get across. It's just not the concepts that are there. These are the very words of God. Well, I didn't get, you know, my favorite thing. I didn't get some toy. I didn't get some, you know, I didn't get, you know, the phone I wanted. It was the wrong color. You know, or I didn't get, you know, some whatever. Think about all the things that you just felt like you missed out on this year. Yet you have a King James Bible sitting on your shelf. Yet you have the greatest treasure. I mean, people would have given anything for a scrap of this throughout history. I mean, think about all the saints of old, you know, before the whole word of God was given. You know, we're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be people that are there that didn't have a complete Bible. They had the Word of God as it was revealed to that point. And they're going to go, man, you had the new, you know, this is a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them, O Lord, from this generation forever. That's what we have in the Word of God. Something, the words of God preserved unto us. That's something we'd be thankful for. We should be mindful of his covenant, the word which he hath commanded to 1,000 generations. We should be thankful for the Bible. Thank God for the preaching of the word of God. Thank God that we have a church that we can go to where the Bible is preached. You know, and if we find ourselves, you know, not thankful for what we have here, well, let's back it up 4 or 5 years ago. Let's back it up and think about where we were before this church started. You know, if we find ourselves growing cold to this ministry, and taking it for granted, you know, you need to think about, like Paul reminded them in Ephesians, you know, ye were sometimes afar off. You know, there was a time you had no hope when it came to salvation. Well, You know, there was a time when the only options in Tucson, you know, were probably some good churches, you know, but they weren't doing, probably not doing the soul winning this church is doing. You know, probably not taking the stands this church is taking and preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. You know, thank God that we have this church where the Word is preached. Verse 16, even of the covenant which he made to Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same for Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, a lot of your inheritance. Jump down to verse 21. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. How about we be thankful for God's provision and protection? I mean, God, the Bible says, he loadeth us with benefits daily. Blessed be the Lord God who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You know, God saves us, he protects us, he provides for us, just like these, you know, Abraham, Isaac, the patriarchs, the fathers of the faith were protected and preserved by God. You know, God still does that for us. You know, the angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him. And God provides for us every day. Go to Psalm 136. I'll turn there with you. In Psalm 136, the Bible says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, these are things that we should be thankful for. The Bible. And these are things that only we as God's people can be thankful for. You know, salvation, eternal security, the Bible, a church where it's being preached, the opportunity to go out and preach the gospel, you know, God's provision, God's protection, his daily loading us with benefits. You know, and here's the thing, you know, these are things that hopefully we're all going, yeah, I'm thankful for that. We're just kind of being reminded. Because what we're thankful for, you know, that reveals what we truly value, doesn't it? The things that we're thankful for, the things that we appreciate. That reveals what's really important to us. You know, that, and hopefully when we think about that, what's coming to mind are these things. Thankful for salvation, so on and so forth. If you look there in Psalms 136, I'm going to take a minute to read this because there's one thing that is just reiterated over and over again that we should be thankful for. It says in verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever, Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever, even inheritance unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you notice a theme there? You know, if there's anything that we can be thankful for this Thanksgiving, it's that God's mercy endures forever. And, you know, it's by God's mercy that we're saved. Thank God that Christ came and saved us from our enemy, death and hell. You know, that's something that we are appointed to be thankful for. You know, this is something that David, it just kind of came out of him. It was very natural for him to just remind us over and over again, his mercy endureth forever, his mercy endureth forever, his mercy endureth forever. Go back to where we were in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. You say, man, what a hard psalm to read over and over again. Why? He just keeps saying that phrase, his mercy endureth forever, over and over. But you know it's ironic is what you read here in First Chronicles 16. He says there in verse 37, so he left there the ark before the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren to minister before the ark continually as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom and their brethren, 80, Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa to be porters, and Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in high places, which is at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do all according that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. So remember, they were commanded to make these sacrifices morning and evening, and to offer thanksgiving and praise unto God morning and evening. And notice in verse 41, and then with Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. You know, it's something, you know, I think that that's the psalm, you know, that's one of the psalms that they probably would have read. That's something that was given to them. Here, read this psalm. Here's a song of praise to just remind you over and over again that his mercy endureth forever. You know, and if that's not enough to give us something to be thankful for, you know what, then you got to really search your heart. Because what you're grateful for reveals what you value in life. And hopefully we're all going to, you know, take a moment and be thankful for our family, our friends, our church, the Word of God, you know, and above all, God's mercy. And that's something we can be thankful for every single day. It came naturally to David. You know, I don't think David is like, what can we be thankful for? You know, I guess we should, we got the ark here now. Solomon's going to build a temple. You know, the priests, they need another job now that they're not just, you know, moving the tabernacle around. I guess we could give thanks. You know, I guess we could praise God. We could probably fit that in, right? You know, well, what are we going to be thankful for? I mean, this is something that's just on David's mind. His mercy endureth forever. You know, and why is that? Because David obviously is somebody that relied heavily upon the Lord when he's running through the wilderness, when he's running for his life from Saul. I mean, he learned to avail himself to the mercy and grace of God on a daily basis. You know, that probably was something that was just deeply ingrained in him. You know, and that might not be the case with us. You know, we might not be, you know, somebody who just, when we think about being grateful and thankful, immediately go to, well, God's mercy. That, you know, that might not be the first thing that comes to mind. It might not come to our mind at all, but it should. You know, we're appointed to give thanks. We're appointed to thanksgiving. That is something we should find ourselves being thankful for. God's mercy, God's grace. It came naturally to David. Go back to Ephesians 2. I thought I had you keep something there. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. You know, it might come as naturally to us. We might not find ourselves just writing a psalm like Psalm 136. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Just thinking about the depth and the love of God and the mercy that God has given us. That might not be something that comes naturally to us. But you know what? One day it will. One day it will. When you get to heaven, you know, you think, man, Psalms 136, we get it. You know, that's heaven. That's like, you know, a few thousand years in heaven, just praising God for his mercy. His mercy, his mercy, his mercy. I mean, that's what heaven's going to be like. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy. You know, why was David going on and on about his mercy? Because God is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, God's mercy is just, you know, a manifestation of his love toward us. Why was David going on and on about his mercy? Because it's just, you know, a realization of how much God loves him. You know, we'll begin to praise God the same way when we start to understand how much God loves us. And, you know, his great love wherewith he loved, past tense, us. You know, sometimes I think we forget how much God already loves us. You know, God loves us quite a bit. You know, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has great love wherewith he loved us. And that's what he's expressing here in Ephesians 2. Look, God already loves you. You already have. You could already sit there and praise God for his mercy morning, noon, night, day after day after day. You're already appointed to that because God already does love you. He says in verse 5, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's going to be heaven. In the ages to come, verse 7, we're going to get there, and he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. Remember, God who's rich in mercy, he's going to prove it. He's going to say, oh, I'm going to show you how rich in mercy I am, how rich in grace I am. How are you going to prove it? Through his kindness toward us. When we're sitting there in heaven, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when we're there, none of us deserves to be there. The only reason any of us is there is because of the grace of God. And through the ages to come, that's what we're going to be a testimony of. God's mercy, God's grace. That's what we're going to show to the world and to all of heaven for all of eternity. That is the theme of heaven, folks. Mercy and grace. That's what we're there to do. You know, so Psalm 136 has just scratched the surface of praising God for his mercy. We haven't even gotten started yet. You know, we are appointed to thanksgiving the moment we get saved. You know, when we were dead in sins and we got saved, we were appointed to thanksgiving, to give God thanks for his mercy and grace. You know, say, maybe not here, but for sure in heaven. When you get there, you know, your tune will change. If you're going through this life and you're not grateful for salvation like you ought to be, if you're not praising God for his mercy and grace, your tune will change the second you step into heaven. The first time you look Christ in the face, it's just going to be praise God for his mercy, praise God for his grace, and it's just going to be that for millennia. How couldn't it be? You know, and people out there in the world, they try to make God into some, you know, egomaniac. Oh, God just wants to be praised. That's why he made man. You know, God is so good, God deserves to be praised throughout all eternity. If all heaven ever is for the rest of all of eternity, it's just us saying, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. For all of eternity, he's worthy of it and more. God is worthy of all the praises for all eternity from all of creation. All of it. It's not because he's some egomaniacal, some kind of, you know, narcissist who just needs to be praised. No, it's because he's so good, because he's so loving, because he's so rich in mercy, because he has so much grace, and he loves us so much, he's worthy of that praise. And that's what we're appointed to. The moment we got saved, you were appointed to thanksgiving in eternity. Why not start now? Why not start today praising God now? Praising God for what? For his mercy. Praising God for his grace. Praising God for the scripture. Praising God for salvation. Praising God for eternal security. Praising God for the church. Praising God for the fellowship that we have in Christ. Praising God for all the benefits that he loads us with every single day. Every breath we could praise God for. But, you know, people today, they don't, you know, they get too focused on what they don't have. They get too focused on what they can't have. And what they do is they lose sight of what they do have. You know, instead of sitting and thinking about all the things you don't have, all the things you can't have, I'm not saying sinful things even. I'm just saying some things are just maybe not going to be in the cards for you. Or maybe some things that just maybe you will have one day, maybe you won't. Just things you don't have. Instead of focusing on that, you need to focus on all the good things that God has already given you. And the greatest thing that God has ever given any of us is salvation. And, you know, you need to meditate on that. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll close it up there. You know, when David at the end here is praising God, you know, he's reminded of something, that everything that you have comes from God. Why should I thank God for everything, anything? Because everything that you have comes from him. You know, that's what's so frustrating about the world that we're living in. You know, on Thanksgiving Day, there's probably going to be a lot of people that don't even acknowledge God. You know, they're not even going to mention the name of Jesus Christ unless it's in the form of, you know, some expletive as they curse some referee for making a bad call or whatever, or because their team lost. You know, here's the thing. You know, we should be thanking God for every single thing that we have. Those people out there that don't want to acknowledge God, the breath that they draw through their mouth is a gift from God. Every heartbeat that they have is a gift from God. Everything that we have comes from God. I mean, that's what David tries to express here in 1 Chronicles 29. Look at verse 10. It says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Let God be blessed. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Remember, he took up this huge offering at Solomon's coronation and for the building of the temple. But notice he says, wow, we took up such a great offering. He says, who are we that we should be able to offer so willingly? And notice he explains this question that he poses. For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand have we given thee. You know, everything that we can even offer God is already his. Any service that we can do to him, give him, any praise, he's worthy of it because it's already his. Everything comes from him. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and all is thine own. None of us should have any problem thinking of something to thank God for on Thanksgiving. And if you can't, at the very least, you could praise God for his mercy and his grace. And all I'm trying to get across here at the end is that instead of focusing on things you don't have, think about the things that you already have. We're to be content people. We need to learn to be content people. And there's really no reason for any of us to be discontented because of the fact, if we're honest, we have more than heart could wish. We have great abundance. And even if we were living in squalor, even if we truly were just miserable, poor wretches, we're still saved. We still have God's mercy. We still have God's grace in our lives. And everything we have is of God. We should thank him for it. So, again, just in summary, the command to give thanks to God is not optional. It's a command in Scripture. I mean, David's appointing guys like, your job is to thank God every morning and every night. That's your job. In fact, here's some psalms about it. Here's some psalms I want you to sing. I've written these. Put these to music. I want these sung in the temple. I want people praising and giving thanks to God every day in the temple continually because God's worthy, right? Well, we just don't feel like David. Not an option. You got to do it. Giving thanks to God is not an optional. It's a command in Scripture. Now, what is optional is whether or not you want to obey that command, whether or not you want to take time to acknowledge God and praise him and give thanks unto God. And, say, well, I'm having a hard time being thankful. Force it. Honestly, force it. Force being thankful. Make yourself get down and say, thank you, God. If I have to, thank you. And start to think about the things that you're thankful. And you know what? Eventually, it will become more natural. And the more we meditate upon the things of God, the more we read the Bible, the more we understand the great love wherewith he loved us, the more we understand the riches in Christ that we have, the more we understand the depth of love that we have in Christ, the more that thankfulness will not have to be forced. The more it'll just come out naturally. In fact, it will be eternity. Lord, I pray, help us to be a grateful people, that we would be a contented people, and Lord, that we would take advantage of the great opportunity we have to do great works for you in this life. We praise you and thank you for all the good things you've done for us and will continue to do. We ask that you would bless as we go now. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll sing one more song before we go.
Dare to be a dandy.